This is The State of Things. I'm Frank Stacio. Photographer Alex Harris had just completed undergrad at Yale when he received his first assignment: photograph substandard housing and living conditions in North Carolina. He traveled through the state in 1971 and 72, documenting poverty in black and white images. More than four decades later, as a Duke professor, Alex gave the same assignment to three of his MFA students. They also traveled the state photographing similar subjects. The images from Alex's collection and the three student photographers are on display at an exhibit called Where We Live, a North Carolina Portrait at Duke's Rubenstein Gallery. Alex Harris joins me now. Welcome back, Alex. Good to have you here.
Thank you, Frank. Good to be here.
Also with me is one of Alex's former MFA students, now a professor, Rachel Boyo. Welcome back, Rachel.
Hey, thanks so much.
It's good to have you. Alex, tell me about your experience, first of all, with that initial assignment, 1971-72.
With the initial assignment, I was so influenced by the work of my teacher, Walker Evans, and other photographers from the Farm Security Administration. And, you know, Frank, I think when I first went out, I found the images that I was looking for. I found kind of their sorts of pictures, in some ways because those conditions still existed in North Carolina. But as I spent time with people, as I moved around, I began to develop my own way of seeing things and really began to see, I think, more dimensions of people's lives than what I initially set out to do.
Well, it's interesting to think about the antecedents and the teachers that you have learned from, and you talk about these projects, many of which are developed through the Depression era aesthetic. And you're a Yale student, so you're going into these poor areas. So what's the point of it? What are you expecting to see and then render as somebody who's come from privilege and now is asked to look at a place that's nothing like where you're from?
Well, in some ways, what I saw was where I was from because I grew up in the South. I was comfortable in the South, and I still am. And I frankly just found myself feeling so fully alive by being out in the field, engaging with people, getting to know people. And so I think the real trick was we all carry pictures with us in our minds. We all have preconceptions. How do you allow your work to spring from your own relationship with people and a place?
And that's... Well, forgive me for interrupting, sorry, but that's, so in other words, you were conscious of that that's something you had to really think about going into this project.
I was conscious of it, yeah. And in some ways it was very helpful to have those images in my mind because they happened to be great images.
Right.
And some of those conditions still happen to exist. But, you know, Evans said to his students, when you're young, you really want your work to spring not so much to be influenced, not so much by the museum or the gallery, but from what he called the life of the streets. And in some way, at 21 years old, I was thrown out onto the streets, and I was able to have my works begin to spring from that, my own relationship with people and places I encountered.
And they did, and you created a body of work, and that was in the 1970s. 40 years later, you decide to send out some students and do kind of the same thing. Talk about that decision.
I had a grant from the Annenberg Foundation of Los Angeles to do a follow-up study of substandard housing and living conditions in North Carolina. And there are a couple of reasons I turned to my former students, MFA students, Rachel Boyo, Amanda Berg, and Jenny Stratton. One was that I knew them as documentary artists. I admired their work. And I imagined what would it be like to have these three tackle this subject. Another reason is I look back at the pictures I made, and though I know more than I did when I made those pictures, I don't think I could make better pictures. There's something about youthful energy, someone trying to define themselves in a life, in a career. And frankly, I wanted to see what these three would do with it.
Rachel, what did you do with it? You get this assignment. Tell me about the focus of your project.
Well, the focus of my project is on migrant farm workers in North Carolina. You know, one of the first things I did when Alex asked me was I said, okay, so what has changed? What has changed in the medium of photography? What has changed in North Carolina? And, you know, because this is really about me responding to a lineage and a legacy. And I have to say, I was so honored that Alex asked me. And I'm so grateful for this opportunity. You know, the documentary arts, that's a team sport right there. You don't shoot without an assist. But anyways, so What I was really seeing is that Alex had photographed a lot of migrant farm workers. At that time, it was very much a black workforce. I was really interested in the Hispanic migrant farm workers that have now become temporary residents of the state. And for me, I also was interested because this is a work that's about substandard housing, but I also wanted to think about more the making of a home rather than just housing, the distinction between housing and home. How do we, even in egregious circumstances, construct some sense of place, make a resting place for yourself? Because you do it with human dignity, but sometimes it's more challenging than others.
Well, there the challenge then is to capture the dignity of the subjects, and perhaps, if I may, and you please feel free to correct me, the indignity of their circumstances.
Exactly. And that balance, that tension is really at the heart of this work for me. And that was actually, I think, the hardest thing for me to grapple with. I'm indebted to Student Action for Farm Workers for, you know, guiding me and telling me where to go, where the farms were, where I could engage with farm workers. And I wanted these pictures to be something they can use as they rally for change and advocate for these farm workers. But I also didn't want this to be a work of muckraking journalism. That's not who I am as an artist.
Well, so tell us about this one. We have a photograph of a number of people. Are they? Yes, they are. All women sitting around
the
table?
They are all women.
Yeah.
That's actually from this fall. And, you know, I engaged with women last, but because it is mostly men, but there are groups of women farm workers, and for me it was very nice as a female to encounter some other females. They were, so it was raining that day, so that's why they were around. Mostly I was looking at, you know, spaces as people were working in the fields, because their hours are insane, and I often needed to be there while they were working so that I could have the language of my medium, light. So these women were off for the afternoon. And, you know, just something that I really wanted in this, this is one of the only pictures where I show people together. A lot of the times I'm looking at people in isolation. But I wanted to show the communal aspect of their living, because people are living together, and they've become little created families, just like they're creating home. These are often strangers who are put together in a foreign land, and they become a family. You know, there's one group of men who became so close that when one of them died in the field from dehydration, all the other men raised the money to send his body home for proper burial because the farm owner would not do it. But they became that attached to one another, and they really felt the loss of their brother.
It's such a complicated thing if you talk about communities coming together and creating an identity. On the one hand, there is the shared work, the shared circumstances, and then there's the imposition. There's whatever they call you. If you're talking about enslaved populations, it's whatever you were called by the dominant culture. And so you're grappling with all of that, the culture that you create, the identity that you create, and the one that you've been given, whether you like it or not. And all that becomes a kind of a complicated thing. I want to take you back, Alex, to some of your original pictures. Here's a photo of some young men, African-American men, playing horseshoes. Tell us about this one.
Yeah, as Rachel said, I'd spent quite a bit of time with migrant farm workers in the eastern part of the state. And a lot of the pictures that I have are pictures in a way that we're familiar with of people working in the field, young children working in the field, a migrant crew boss standing out and looking out over workers in the field. But I found that if I just hung out, if I spent time with them, that I was going to see other things. And they were playing horseshoes. They were having a good time. Ironically, I think this is the kind of picture that in some ways is more effective than the pictures of someone's despair, because this is the kind of picture that we can relate to, we can imagine ourselves participating in, and understand the multiple kind of dimensions of people's lives.
Rachel, you said when you took on this project, you wanted to think about what had changed since Alex took his photos. What had changed? for you and what had changed in the industry, both technically, but also in terms of the subject?
Well, I mean, one of the biggest things is that, you know, we have the Sanctuary Act, so there are people coming here for the season, largely from Mexico. So, you know, who the farm workers are is really what's changed. In terms of the medium of photography, I'd like to note that I'm still a little old school. I chose to shoot this on film with a 4x5 film camera, field camera, sorry. But I did choose to shoot in color to some update the vocabulary, because this is about what's changed, what's fading, but also what's emergent. In terms of the crops, you know, the crops are pretty much the same. North Carolina's agricultural economy remains pretty stable. It's just who's working the fields.
This is a fascinating picture, and I'm going to ask you to tell us about it, because it does seem to be you have three students, of course, who you sent out, Alex, and this photograph was taken by another one of your students who you sent out into the field. And I wonder if you could tell me more about it, because it seems to be displaced in a way. This photograph is cropped a little bit, but when you see the whole thing, it's a kiosk of some kind where you can pay your bills and buy Slim Jims, and there is somebody standing there in a yellow T-shirt, a woman standing there in a yellow T-shirt who will take your money and apparently your bills. But it appears to be in the middle of a field as well, this kiosk.
It's a kind of a surreal image by a photographer named Amanda Berg. Amanda, what was fascinating to me about this project is each of the three photographers interpreted the assignment in a different way. Amanda has always been interested in women's lives and women's issues. She was in a drugstore in Massey Hill, North Carolina, and there's a big, it's a classic mill village. There's a drugstore there. She wanders into the drugstore, talks to the woman behind the counter, and it turns out that woman lost her job at a factory there on the outskirts of Fayetteville many years ago. Amanda took her picture, went and found the factory, photographed the factory, and then through the new technology, put those two images together. And it's kind of a surreal, haunting image of a woman smiling in a little store. But on the sides are this factory appears.
What were some of the other surprises for you, Alex, seeing the, you know, your assignment 40 years later?
You know, the surprise for me really was to see how each photographer would interpret this, because I think it was a harder job that they had. There were 1 million people living in poverty statistically in 1971 in North Carolina. There were actually 1,600,000 living in poverty in 2014 when they started their project. But I think it's so much, poverty is so much less visible, so much more hidden, not just migrant farm workers hidden on farms, but the trappings of our lives are all so similar now. So I think these photographers had to choose ways of interpreting the assignment that would evoke substandard living in a different way.
I'm talking about a photo exhibit on display at Duke's Rubenstein Gallery today on The State of Things. Rachel Boyle, let me ask you about the challenge of your job, because you said on the one hand you thought about Alex's project, all that came before it, and now you're thinking about what has changed. And then you hear Alex saying, and part of it is to bring yourself to this project and lose some of those filters. How difficult is it to have sort of all of these sort of demands, these ideas going into the field, and then try to be spontaneous and take the shots that sort of touch you in a way?
Oh, well, that's always the challenge with photography. For me, I mean, that's part of why I like shooting 4x5 and using the field camera. You know, it slows me down. But then I also, as I said to Alex earlier, sometimes it's like I'm stepping out of time when I'm using it. But, you know, I set up on the tripod. I'm very thoughtful. But then you just wait for the world to respond to you. I mean, it's all about serendipity and chance, the accidental nature of it all. I mean, just I love what I do, because the world surprises me every time.
Well, I guess that brings me to a larger question about digital photography. It does make it a lot easier just to point and shoot and shoot and shoot and shoot, right? And so this question of the impact of time on the photographer and the time that it takes, I wonder if it's changing the art itself, if digital photography is changing the way artists and photographers see the world.
Well, you're looking at someone who became a digital photographer probably 8 or 9 years ago. My students have been involved in it much longer. I think that no matter what medium you're using, what camera you're using, Walker Evans said what's crucial about photography is that it's all in the editing. Mm-hmm. Whether you make 1,000 pictures or 10 pictures, you're the one who needs to choose those images that are most evocative and revealing to you, put them together in a way that say something that perhaps even surprises you, but says something that only photography can say.
Was there anything in these photos that your students took that makes you see the pictures you took 40 years ago differently? Do you view them differently now as a result?
Do I view them differently? I think I'm still kind of taking in what's happening between the three of us. I think that one of the things that it's allowed me to see is that there's so many different ways to look at something, and that often we look at a book of photographs, if it had just been my photographs, and you think, well, that's the way it was. But when you have three or four different visions, you begin to sense how subjective and personal photography is and how much about the photographer and their interests it is.
Fascinating stuff. So happy to talk with you. Today on the program, Alex Harris, one of the co-founders of the Center for Documentary Studies and a Duke professor. Alex, thank you for being on the program.
Thank you, Frank.
Rachel Boyeau is a photographer, and her work is included in Where We Live, a North Carolina portrait. Rachel, thank you for being on the program.
Thank you, Frank.
The exhibit is on display at Duke's Rubenstein Gallery. Alex and Rachel are going to participate in an artist talk today at 4, and we've got the pictures at our website, stateofthings.org. Our program is produced by Laura Lee, Anita Rao, Will Michaels, and Charlie Shelton Ormond. Robin Copley is our technical director, Brent Wolf, WUNC's news director. North Carolina Public Radio is a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. I'm Frank Stachow.